Philippians chapter 3, our text for this morning, of the verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's seek God's help in prayer, please. Our Father, we thank Thee for this precious word. We thank Thee that Thou hast given it to us, that we might read and know and understand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we take time now to consider Thy great truth, as we seek to preach upon it, we ask for help. Help for preaching, help for hearing, that in all things there would be the name of our God who would be glorified. Teach us the ways of Christ our Savior. Help us to walk in those pathways of righteousness, to do the things that please Thee. Lord, give us a teachable spirit. Give us a heart that's receptive to Thy word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the wonderful truth of God. Be with us, we pray. May each and every one of us be able to testify that we have met with God this day, that He has spoken to us, that He has revealed His will unto us, and by His grace we will live for Him. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let me read together those verses once again from Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we gather here this morning, a new year lies before us. We don't know what it's going to hold, but one thing we do know is that a new year for many people is an opportunity to make what they call New Year's resolutions. It gives us an opportunity to reassess the year that's just passed, to look at both its successes and its failures, and it gives us a chance to examine those things and then to plan for a better tomorrow, to look for successes where there were none last year, to reverse the failures that we experienced in the last 12 months. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't quite got there yet. I haven't quite reached the standard. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I press on. We are all very aware that there are things about the incoming year that are uncertain, that are clothed in mystery. We all know that our best laid plans can very quickly go awry. The truth is, none of us can predict what's going to happen in 2018. There's no way that we can really know everything that lies before us in the next 12 months. It may be one of the best years that you've ever had. It might be one of the worst years that you've ever had. It's an unknown future. And probably best that it is, if we knew all the good that was coming to us, it wouldn't be good for us. We would just sit down and degenerate. If we saw all of the evil things that would come our way, we would be paralyzed with fear. How merciful is our God that the curtain on tomorrow was closed before us. And so we receive strength from day to day to meet each day as it comes. So while there is a certain mystery and uncertainty about the future, that shouldn't prevent us from striving to be the very best that we can be. I press toward the mark. Someone said that the future is an opportunity yet unmet, a path yet untraveled, a life yet unlived. The Apostle Paul says we should be reaching forth unto those things which are before us. I want you to get in your mind's eye the image that Paul is using here. This reaching forth unto the things before us comes from the Greek word that describes a runner. He's in a race and he's stretching for the tape. Every muscle, every fiber stretched to its limit, straining for the finishing line. He's putting his every effort into reaching his goal. And when Paul says that we press them toward the mark, you can see him as he reaches for the line. He's giving his all. He's holding nothing back. All his strength, his energy, his very effort is put into this one thing of accomplishing, reaching the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to set before you this morning three things that I think that we should be pressing towards in this coming year. Things that we should be striving to attain in 2018. Reaching forth unto those things which are before us. What are our goals for this incoming year? Let me suggest firstly that we make it a year of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. When I talk about spiritual maturity, I'm thinking of our spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He was speaking to some in the church at Corinth. Though they professed faith in Christ for many a year, there had been no growth, no development in their spiritual life. They had been saved for such a long time, but they were as babes in Christ. They were still on their ABCs. They hadn't progressed, if you like, to the rest of the alphabet. One of our goals for this incoming year ought to be a discernible spiritual growth in our life. It ought to be our desire, our prayer, that over the next 12 months that we will grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Oftentimes our greatest spiritual growth is when we were first converted. And the reason for that is because everything's so new, so fresh. We desire the things of God and we immerse ourselves in the scriptures and we attend services and we read books and we listen to sermons and we can't get enough. And we grow and we develop very quickly. And then we begin to stagnate. That growth begins to slow. We ought to be striving for more spiritual growth in our life. Let me give you just a few suggestions as to how you can attain that. How can we grow spiritually in 2018? Let me suggest firstly that you speak to God orally. Speak to God orally. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean that we're on our knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Of course not. But we should be living in a constant attitude of prayer. talking to God in prayer ought to be as common and as normal as talking to those around us. We don't have to get on our knees to pray. You can talk to God as you get ready for work in the morning, as you drive your car, as you go about your daily business. There ought to be an open line of communication with God at all times. And all through the day you can talk to God in prayer. Lewis Drummond in his book, Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said concerning Charles Spurgeon that in his entire lifetime that he only spent one or two nights in prayer in his entire life. But he walked with God in such depth that he could move from conversation with friends into a conversation with the Lord in a moment. He was constantly in contact with God. It was Spurgeon that said that he never prayed for more than 15 minutes. But he never went more than 15 minutes without praying. Martin Luther, we've considered quite a lot this last year, said that as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Prayer is important. It's essential to our spiritual growth. Prayer is to our spiritual life as what air is to our physical life. It's the very breath in our body. When we do not pray, we suffocate our spiritual growth. So I encourage you to be much in prayer, to pray hourly. And then I encourage you to read your Bible daily. Prayer is what air is to the physical. Reading of the Bible is what food is to the physical. If we suffocate our spiritual growth when we do not pray, then we starve our spiritual growth if we do not have a daily diet of God's Word. It's been well said that the Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. If we are going to be spiritually strong, we must take time to read the Word of God daily. Glynis, I presume, very kindly has left these in the pulpit for me. You find them at the back of the church on the table at the back. They're reading plans for reading through your Bible. 52-week Bible reading plan. How you can read through the Scriptures in a year. There's others that will take you through chapter by chapter. There's McShane's Bible reading calendar that will give you a portion from the Old Testament and a portion from the New and a psalm to read each day. It doesn't matter which program you follow, if any at all. It doesn't matter whether you read 10 chapters a day or only one chapter. Be in the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. Go to the back of the church. Pick up some of these. Find the one that works for you and read through the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. Take time every day to sit down with your Bible and read God's Word. Just as it is essential to pray, to grow spiritually, it's essential that we read our Bible. When we pray, that's us talking to God. When we read the Scriptures, that's God talking to us. If you're going to have a conversation, there must be both listening and speaking, reading and praying. I don't want to discourage you, but perhaps amongst Christians, the most broken resolution that we make each year is that we're going to read the Bible through. It said that the most commonly read chapter of Scripture is Genesis chapter 1, because each year that's where we begin, planning to read through the Word of God again. And perhaps some don't get much further than that. I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Those Bible reading plans are good, but there's a problem sometimes. If you miss a couple of this, you find you not only have 3 chapters to read or 4, but you've got a 15 and 20. And you go, forget about it. I'm never going to catch that up. Don't get in a bind over it. Don't lose the enthusiasm for the Word of God. Some days it may be only a few verses that you read. But if you meditate upon them and think upon them and consider what God is saying, that's food for your soul. Read the Word of God. Pray orally. Read the Scriptures daily. It said of Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, that he was a young Christian. One of the elders of the church that he attended came up to the young man and said, I want to give you some advice. He says, take 15 minutes each day to listen to God. Then take 15 minutes to talk to God. And then take 15 minutes to talk to others about God. I thought that was good advice. Pray for 15 minutes, read for 15 minutes, tell others about God for 15 minutes. Billy Sunday said he made that the rule of his life from that day forward. Let me encourage you to read your Bible. Be in it daily. Make it the purpose of your heart that each day will see you with the Word of God in your hand, reading, studying, listening to what the Lord has to say. You want to grow spiritually mature, pray orally, read daily, and attend church weekly. Now, I've known some that have attended church very weekly indeed, but I want you to be here weekly. When the house of God is open, plan to be here. I remember one old saint, very faithful. If you'd have called upon him to pray, he'd have had a nervous break. If you'd asked him to come forward and sing, he'd have been out through the door quicker than you could imagine. But he was there every time the church was open. He longed for the house of God. He longed for the company of God's people. He longed to be where God was praised, where His Word was read, where His truth was stated. He had a heart for the Lord. And His presence there week by week was an encouragement to everyone that came along. He was faithful in His attendance. I know there are some that say you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I disagree with that. For the simple reason that the Lord commanded His people to gather together. He's promised to be in the midst of those who meet together in His name. The Lord is here today. Will you meet with Him? You'll never be a spiritually strong Christian if you're not found in the house of God, worshipping Him. You want this incoming year to be one of spiritual growth? Talk to God orally. Read your Bible daily. Attend church weekly. And in so doing, you give yourself the building blocks to be spiritually mature. What else can we be reaching forward to 2018? Spiritual maturity, yes. What about spiritual purity? Should we be reaching forward for spiritual purity? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. God who has saved us desires us to be holy. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we're aiming not only for a year of spiritual maturity, but for a year of spiritual purity. For growth and godliness. We want to have a life that's marked and characterized by spiritual purity. What do I mean by that? I mean, firstly, that there's nothing in our lives that hinders our relationship with God. Nothing in our lives that hinders our relationship with God. I think of the words of the psalmist. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It puts a barrier up between us and God. If we allow sin to encroach into our life, we are effectively shutting God out. We're putting up barriers and roadblocks. If we want to have growth, maturity, and purity in our life, then we must deal with those sins that offend God. We must deal with those things that harm our relationship with Him. There's no peace and no joy like being able to put your head on the pillow at night and know that there is nothing in your life or your heart that displeases God. Is that our desire? To be in fellowship with God and to allow nothing to break that fellowship? If we're being honest, and we ought to be, we know that there will be failures in 2018. It's not a matter if or when we fail. We will fail. It's what we do when we fail that matters. When we fail, we want to pray like David prayed. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You know, we're told in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we don't confess our sins, it becomes a festering pile. And we have no access to God. We hinder our relationship with Him. We shut up the windows of heaven that the blessings of God cannot come upon us. If we abide in our sins, then we lose God's presence, His power, His mercy, His grace. We forfeit all of those things. But if we confess our sins, if we deal honestly with them, if we come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I've failed again," He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. When we sin, we must confess those sins so that we can be clean before God, so that we might have unbroken fellowship with Him. As we enter into 2018, let me encourage you to strive to live as close to God as you can, to seek to do the things that please Him, to run away from those things that would offend Him. See to it that nothing hinders our relationship with God. We want to be known for spiritual purity, then allow nothing to hinder your relationship with God. Make sure also that there's nothing that hurts our reputation before men. There's two aspects to our spiritual maturity: how we are before God and how we are before men. There's an interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the verse 9. Paul says, "For I think that God has set forth us as apostles last, as it were appointed to death, For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Speaking of the apostles, and speaking unto the believers in Corinth, he says, we are made a spectacle. What's interesting is the word spectacle there comes from the Greek word that we get our English word theatre from. Theatre. Paul's saying, your life has been lived out on a stage. You're being watched by the world around you. The most powerful thing that we possess as Christians, that we can present to the world and tell them of the Savior, is our testimony. Our life lived for God. Our testimony of how God met with us as lost and ruined sinners, saved us by His grace, washed us in the blood of Christ, brought us into the family of God, transforms us from the inside out, that now we are new creatures in Christ. We're no longer what we used to be. We don't keep the same company. We don't commit the same sins. We're not the same people. But we are new creations in Christ. Paul said, all the old things pass away, and all things become new. The one who's truly in Christ is a person who is transformed. And when we come to the world to tell them of our Savior, we can tell them of what we once were and what we now are in Christ. Our testimony. What a powerful tool it is when we're telling others about the Savior and what He has done for us. We should be very careful to ensure that our life is above reproach. That we're not doing in the sight of men that which would hinder the cause of Christ. I remember when, as a young Christian, witnessing to one of the people that I was working alongside, and I had the opportunity to tell him on a number of occasions of the Lord Jesus. And one day he just stopped me. We pointed over to another person we worked with who also claimed to be a Christian. And he said, tell me, is so-and-so a Christian? And I knew where he was going with that line of question. Because even though this person professed to be a Christian, the things that they said didn't match up to the things that they did. They said one thing and they did another. The only thing that I could say to them was this: well, they say that they are Christian, but their life, their reputation was nothing in the sight of those around. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to be that person that the unbelieving turn to and say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I want nothing to do with it. Our life should be one that's filled with joy and love and peace and mercy and grace. That Christ Himself living out through us. Too often our professions are talked and not walked. Preached but not practiced. I know that we can find plenty of fault with the church. We can point to many and say, there go the hypocrites. But let not those fingers be pointed at us. Let us endeavor not only to ensure that our relationship with God is unhindered, but make sure our reputation before men is unhindered also. That nothing hurts. That we endeavor to be the very image of Christ to this world. For what is our hope? What's the hope of glory but Christ in us? And what point is there Christ in us if Christ has not lived through us? May we never give opportunity for the accusing finger to point our way and say, I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. Let us strive to keep our lives pure and without blame before God and before men. So let us reach forward in 2018 for spiritual maturity, for growth in our Christian life. Let us strive in 2018 for spiritual purity, for godliness to be seen in our life. Let us reach forward in 2018 for spiritual activity. So spiritual maturity, spiritual purity, spiritual activity. Let's determine as we step into 2018 to be involved in the work of God, to be a co-worker with Christ Jesus, to find our place in the will of God and to carry it out. God has a will for our lives. Be not unwise, Paul said, understanding what the will of God is. The Lord wants you to know His will. One of our goals ought to be to know God's will and to carry it out. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, once said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than to be upon the throne of England and out of it. The greatest place that you and I can be is in the centre of God's will. I blessed the Lord that night when, as a teenager, I got on my knees before God and told Him that I would do whatever He wanted me to do, to be whatever He wanted me to be, to go wherever He wanted me to go, to have placed my life in His hands and said, here it is, Lord. There are many things in my life that I regret, but I've never regretted that. Never. Find the will of God and then carry out the work of God. God has you here for a purpose, to serve in His church, to have opportunity to be active in the work of God. And He's gifted us all in different ways. We have different gifts and talents and abilities, and you bring different things to the table than what I bring. But know this, if you're not there, if you're not contributing, you're actually depriving the church, the body of Christ, you're depriving the body of Christ of the gifts and talents that God has given you to use, to serve Him with. We are actually hindered in our work and service for the Lord if you're not in your place doing your duty. And we've all got different tasks to carry out. Have you found a place where you can serve? Imagine what could be accomplished if every member of the body of Christ was involved in the work of God. What an amazing amount of work could be carried out. For the sake of the kingdom of God, for the salvation of souls, for the advancement of God's truth, let me encourage you to get involved in this incoming year. Don't waste your time. Don't get to the place where you look back on your life with regret and think, if only I had done more. Think of the words of the little hymn that says, by and by when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. I think that will be a regret that we all share in the day that we meet with our Savior. Not one of us will say, I wish I'd given Him less. I fear we'll all say, I wish I'd given Him more. Let us reach forward forth unto these things which are before us, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's strive for spiritual maturity, for spiritual purity, for spiritual activity. And may 2018 be a year of great blessing. I'll finish with this. There's a little poem. Must have been written by a teacher. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. "Have you a new page for me, teacher? I've spoiled this one." I took his page, all soiled and blotted, and gave him a new one, all unspotted. Then into his stirred heart I smiled. "Do better now, my child." I went to the throne with a trembling heart. The year was done. "Have you a new year for me, Father? I have spoiled this one." He took my year, all soiled and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my tired heart he smiled. "Do better now, my child." Maybe as we step into 2018, do better now. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee again for opportunity to gather together in thy house, to gather for worship and for praise. We pray for that help from on high, thy Spirit to be our teacher, to lead and guide us into truth and righteousness for Christ's sake. And with thy divine help, may 2018 be a year of maturity and purity and activity. For thy great name's sake, we pray. Amen.